to the hand in the pocket and the raised eyebrow. There was no charge. Both men embraced me again and again. Later that day, when we finally had an interpreter and our conversation became more mundane, I made arrangements with Jon to take all the Bibles I had brought with me. He would know better than I where to place them in this hard country, and he assured me that it was better to have just one contact than several. That night, back in my hotel, the clerk called to me. "Say," he said, "I looked up that agape in the dictionary. There's no language by that name. That's just a Greek word for love." "That's it," I said. "I was speaking in it all afternoon." The communications dam had been cracked at last. Over the next week and a half, I travelled throughout Romania with an excellent interpreter, following leads given me by Gheorghe and Jon. I met every shade of attitude, from the extreme of defeat to the extreme of courage. It was easy to sympathise with the defeated ones. What can we do with such a natural reaction? So many had only one ambition, to get out of Romania altogether. Oddly, though, the more devoted a Christian, the more likely he was to stay put. In Transylvania, we visited such a family. These Christians had a poultry farm which was still at least partially their own property. However, the state had given them a production quota that was beyond their capacity to meet. When they failed to reach it, they had to buy enough eggs on the open market to make up the difference. Year after year this had happened, and the economic suffering was great. "Why do you stay, then? So that you can keep your farm?" I asked. The farmer and his wife both looked shocked. "Of course not," he said. "In fact, we certainly will lose the farm. We stay because..." He let his eyes travel across the valley. "Because if we go, who will be left to pray?" But I also met Christians who were less sure. I learned of one little church far off the beaten path that was working with gypsies. Even as we drove up, I could tell it was in trouble. The grass was high in the churchyard. Several windows in the sanctuary were broken. The beehives out back were toppling over. My interpreter and I went around behind the church, where the pastor's living quarters were, and knocked. The pastor was not at home, but his wife greeted us, and shortly we were eating saucers full of honey so sweet it hurt my teeth. The pastor's wife told us that her husband had gone to Bucharest to plead their case with the central government. The local party chief was demanding the church building, saying it was needed for a clubhouse. She and her husband, she said, had worked among the gypsies for almost 30 years. I had seen many of them on the road coming in, little groups, sitting by their wagons, always accompanied by a meagre horse and some squawking geese. Recently, she went on, the government had at last decided to do something for them by offering them better-paying jobs.